Amen. Come, let us adore him. Guys, as y'all heard Miss Beverly say, Pastor Paul is traveling, spending time with family and what have you. And so a few weeks ago, he blessed me with the opportunity to share with you guys this morning. Through my nerves and through my in studying of, we'll make it through together. So thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your love. And no, I am not going to do the 12 days of Christmas. And whoever started the encore that night, I'm going to find out who you were, and we'll talk about that later. Anyhow, again, guys, thank you for being here this Christmas Eve morning. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being committed to this church family and to this body of believers. A few weeks ago, the Lord put this word on my heart. I didn't understand why or how or what have you, but after singing the songs that we have sung this morning, it all makes sense. It's amazing how the Lord puts things together in our lack of understanding. And so we're going to open up today Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to start with the reading of verses 1 through 5. That's Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 5. When you get there, say amen. Let me know you're there, and we'll kind of get started. Yeah, I guess you can cheat with the screen. I always kind of forget about that thing. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news has come to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this message, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, God, thank you for the promise of being able to enter your rest. God, as we just sang the song, I am too want to enter your rest. God, allow us all, Lord, to be united together to enter in. God, allow us, Lord, the blessings to receive what you have promised unto us. God, as we open your word, Lord, allow it to penetrate our hearts. Lord, allow our hearts to be soft. Lord, allow our hearts not to be hardened. Father God, allow us to go and be the light into this world that you have called us to. Lord God, that your word promises, God, that the things that you bring us to, God, you will bring us through. Father, we praise your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Therefore, let us. Therefore, an adverb. For y'all that have been around me long enough know that my English language is not great. And so I have to look up what this therefore word means, what it is about. This chapter says, therefore let us, four times, to the reader. Again, this word of Hebrews I would think to be written by Paul. We actually don't know the actual author of Hebrews. Most think that it was Paul, is giving a warning. These first two verses are a warning to us, a warning to us of not entering God's rest. What happens when we don't enter God's rest? And what happened to the Israelites when they didn't enter God's rest? This verse states that the promise still stands to us that are available. The still promise stands to us all. Romans 5, 6 through 9 states, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one was seriously died for the righteous person. Though perhaps a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we will now be justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God has a wrath. God has a promise. His promise of wrath is just like his promise of love. There's things that we have to do to enter into his rest. There's things that we have to do to become a child of God. There's things that we have to do to keep on sinning like the world. We have become changed. We have become new creatures. The word promises us that those that have loved him have become a new creature. And let us enter as so. Allow us to change. Allow us to go on. The fear here is not a fear that, oh, something is going to happen to us. It's a fear of knowledge. I use, for instance, the fear of the stove. You tell your child, don't touch the hot stove. Fear of the stove. Child, don't touch the hot stove. What ends up happening? The child touches the hot stove, right? You've tried to give them a knowledge, an understanding, a wisdom of do not touch the hot stove. Why do you not want to touch the hot stove? Because the hot stove will burn you, right? But in the free will of the child, it touches the hot stove. The same as us, as God the Father, we are his children. He's given us a book. He's given us instruction. He's given us his word to follow, to endure, Lord, to have the availability to live in his rest. And if we don't, we will be burnt. And if we don't before we die, we will receive an eternity of being burnt. It's his promise, not mine. I'm not coming to judge or scare. I'm coming to give you wisdom. Again, there's a difference in wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is to know of. The wisdom is to use it. You may know that the hot stove will hurt you, but until you use that wisdom and touch it, you don't always understand. The same is between using knowledge and wisdom. Again, fear in this verse is not, as we know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." In 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." There's a promise of knowledge of something that we are to carry it out, and don't touch it. Don't do it. The fear that the Lord is trying to express to us in verse 1 is something that we're trying to reach, something that we're trying to get, something we're trying to grab. God wants all of us to enter his rest. God wants all of us to spend eternity with him. Ezekiel 33:11 declares the Lord, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Guys, God wants all of us to live with him forever. He wants none to perish. The way I understand and read and breaking down of, only in Matthew 26:24 does it say, "The Son of Man goes, as is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It was better for that man for him not to have been born." There is only one that committed a sin beyond what could be reached. It's God's plan. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not going to try to stand up here and confess it to you that I understand. But Judas Iscariot is the only one that did something so irrational, so betraying, that he entered the gates of hell. Everyone else, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've said, regardless of what you've experienced, regardless of what's happened to you, or so on and so forth, you can enter his rest. You can experience everlasting love from the Father. You can enter the pearly gates. But it's up to you. God gives you the promise. But in this passage, what are we trying to reach? I know the first thing that popped into my mind was heaven. Heaven is what we're all trying to eventually gain. But in this scripture, it is talking about entering God's rest. God's rest, not my rest. For y'all that know what's been going on in my personal life for the last few weeks. Unfortunately, I had to fire a contractor, and so I've been working 70-plus hours a week and enduring everything else that I uphold responsibilities to. So rest for myself has not been great lately. Not even rest, but not even sleep. And so the Lord still has given me the promise that as I lay my head down at night, I say, Lord, I know I've only got 3 hours of sleep, but give me rest. And boy, does he. Thank you for the promise. But in this, in Scripture, how can we enter God's rest? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus' words says to us all, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To be yoked with Christ, to be able to have the glorious Son of God to be yoked with us, to be one with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to be yoked with him, to have him live in me. Oh, is me, a sinful man. As the scripture of Isaiah comes to mind when he got to experience God's glory, when he got to experience the throne room. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his next word was, woe is me. I know we are our own worst critics. I am my own worst critic. I am the one that gets in my mind and tells me how awful and terrible of a human being that I am and what I have done and why I did it and so on and so forth. But God has been yoked with me. The God who died on a cross for my sins and for my troubles and for my mistakes and for my terror, he washes me white as snow. I don't get it. I don't understand why. Because he loves me. Because he loves you. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he came to give us life and give it more abundantly. As we read on, carrying it out, this burden that we're carrying, what is this burden that we're carrying? Psalms 38:4, David cried out, my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Our sins we can't carry. We can't carry our sins and be able to make it to heaven. None of us are strong enough. None of us are good enough. As Romans proclaims, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has committed a sin of some sort. None of us are good to enter in. Without Christ, there is not a way. Without Christ, your sins will burden you down. But his yoke is freely given unto you if you ask. Scripture goes on and talks about hearing and listening. Verse 2 talks about, for the good news came to just them, but the message they heard did not benefit them before, because they were not united by faith by who listened. I imagine when I said that they heard but they didn't listen, someone popped in your head that you often have conversation with, that they hear your words but they don't listen. Wives, I hope your husbands didn't pop in your mind. I'm sure I did in pages, and that's okay. I hear her often, but I don't listen. The same is the way as we read our scripture and we do our daily Bible studies, and as we open his words, while we read them, are we hearing what it says to us, or are we listening? There is a difference. The good news, I hope you've listened to the gospel, the good tidings, just so you heard it time and time again. But I'm going to be honest. There's sometimes I sit in these pews and I think, Lord, will you please shut that guy up and let's go to lunch? I got other things to be doing. And I say that in a jokingly manner, but I say it to be true. I've sat in these pews and thought, man, what else could I be doing? What else could I be consuming my time with? What else? What am I doing next? What's the next thing that's going to happen? What's the next? What's the next? But allow us to truly, as we are sitting here today, listening to the scripture that are being spoken. Hebrews 4, verse 12 states, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, deceiving the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Guys, that's not my word. This is the word of God. It tells us that he knows even our thoughts, even what is going on in our mind. It's hard for me to understand while I listen to someone talk that it is cutting me and I don't even know it. What I have come to realize, though, as it says in verse 12, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and too many times I pull it out and don't use it wisely. If I'm going to pass a sword to Ken, I'm not just going to toss it at him or throw it at him or shove it down his throat. I'm going to pass him a sword because it's going to cut him. Too often I share these scriptures, too often I share the word of God with somebody, a stranger, and I don't use it wisely. And they get offended, and they get hurt. And people get hurt in church every day. Why? Because it is a living, active, sharp, cutting word. And it divides it all. But it's not the man that stands in front of you. It is not the individual that you listen to that day. It is God's spoken word. Take it, study it, understand it. See why it hurt. Too many times we just get hurt, we get offended, and we leave, and we go somewhere else that we feel accompanied to. That is not how we can grow. You cannot grow in the Lord when you're comfortable. I promise, I've tried it for too long. The other thing I want to share in this time and moment is too many times, as this talks about being united by faith, and Pastor has been sharing here lately, about us being united and about the power that comes from being united. Here at AMCOG, one of our core values is collaborative and the blessings that come with us being united, being submitted one to another. Agreeing with you is easy. It's easy to agree with you. It's easy to agree with Pastor. It's hard to submit. It's hard for me to submit. It's hard for me to submit to authority over me. It's hard to submit to those I disagree with. That is when submission comes. So if we are submit to the Lord and resist the devil and he will flee from us, we have to submit to his authority, to submit to his lordship, to submit to something that sometimes that I don't even understand. I believe everything in this word, but I don't always understand it. I don't understand a talking donkey, and I'm not talking about Shrek. If you don't understand the story that I'm talking about, we can talk after service, but I don't understand the man of God at that time did not see the angel of the Lord, but the donkey didn't talk to him. I don't get it, but I believe it. I have faith in it, and I stand united with you and believe it and understand it. Going back to this good news, what is the good news? Yours might say gospel. Yours might say comfort. Yours might say tidings. What is the gospel? I hope you have listened to the gospel when it was shared with you. The gospel in a short sentence, I can't do it, but I'll give you a paragraph. Jesus, born of virgin, lived a life tempted in every way, but committed no sin. Died a criminal's Roman's crucifixion, buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, defeated death, hell, and the grave, rose again on the third day, ministered for 40 days to hundreds, not just him that they knew, but hundreds, the public, ministered in his glorified body, ascended to the throne room, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and is interceding for you and me and bridging the chasm for us to be able to receive our crowns in glory forever. That is the gospel in a short sentence. I pray that you understand it. I pray that you've heard it. I pray that you listen to it. That is my prayer. Good news. First time you read good news is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Good news to the poor. It's not talking about those that are financially poor. It's talking about those that are spiritually poor. It's not talking about those that are bound up, that are tied. It's talking about those that are bound by spirits that they don't understand. Given liberty to the captives, us, they, them, anyone. This is the good news. Allow us to come into agreement with the Holy Spirit in our weakness. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we are to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with His groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. We all can work together. We all can stand united and praise the Lord in our weakness. Guys, this is not my comfort zone. I'm not standing up here in front of you comfortable. This is a weakness. I'm a teacher, not a preacher, but I've given the opportunity to share His word with you. That is my calling today. I hope that you hear my words. Tidings and comfort of joy. There's a song that's often sung this time of the year. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Oh, comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. What brings comfort and joy? The Holy Spirit is what we're taught. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Have you truly crucified that old man? Have you crucified your old self? Too many times I let that old weary man pop his head up. I feed the physical and I don't feed the spiritual. I tell the kids all the time, as you all hear it, our slogan is read and pray and do it every day. That is our slogan as a youth group. I don't want it to be just words on a page. I don't want it to be a hearing of what they sing. I challenge them to do it because I had to challenge myself to do it first. I never want to come and stand in this pulpit or stand in that youth room and say something that I'm not willing to do myself first. The days that I don't read my Bible first before I get started are my toughest days. The days that I don't acknowledge who God Almighty is are my toughest days. Allow us to know the place that we have in our weakness. Guys, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. How do we achieve it? How do we receive it? We get the gospel and good news because somebody shared His word with you or me. Revelations 12, 11, and they have conquered Him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even to death. Somebody, somewhere in your life has shared their testimony with you, either from a pulpit, on a TV show, through a song, or some version. Somebody has shared their testimony with you for you to be able to receive this gift. Likewise, do the same. Go and share your testimony. It's by the blood of the Lamb that we all receive. But if we're not sharing and telling anyone, what's the good news about? What is this tidings of comfort and joy if we're not sharing it? Guys, as I walk around in malls and shopping centers these days, you see signs of love and signs of joy and signs of comfort. And you see signs of what they know words, but they don't know where they come from. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. Joy only comes from the Lord. Joy will only receive from the Lord. As we look upon Hebrews chapter 4, looking through verses 3 through 5, the warning is from the Israelites. For those who believe and not believe, from the unbelievers is like those who perish before entering the promised land. The Israelites heard Moses, "Get up, let's go, we're leaving." And they all left and made it through the Red Sea. But only two adult males made it into the promised land because they listened to the words of their forefathers. That's hard for me to understand. That's hard for me to get. I'm a visual learner. I'm going to show you something today. Any male that is below the age of 20, please stand up. If you're below the age of 20 and you're a male, please stand up. Do we have any 40-year-old males here? Is there a 40-year-old male? Okay, if you're from 38 to 42 and a male, stand up. That's one, two. Okay. Eve, I'm sorry you were third to stand. Can you sit down for me, Eve? Guys, what I'm trying to demonstrate to you. No, stay standing, Caleb. And that's awesome that Caleb stood up. Wow. Guys, what I'm trying to demonstrate to you is Derek would be Joshua, Caleb would be Caleb, and the rest of the men would be the ones that made it in. These are the men of the millions of Israelites that left Egypt that entered to the promised land. Do we truly understand the word of God? Few will find it, few will listen to it, and few will enter. Of the millions of Israelites that left Egypt with Moses and listened or heard his word, didn't listen. They didn't get to enter the promised land. They perished for 40 years. They wandered because they didn't enter God's rest. That is the warning that is in verse 3 and in verse 5. Today, if you hear this voice, do not harden your heart. Excuse me. They shall not enter my rest. They didn't enter the rest because they didn't listen. Guys, y'all can sit down. Thank you. But again, of the millions that were with him, they didn't listen. Guys, anytime that you're here, I would ask that you listen. I know we've all got busy lives. I'm probably one of the busiest individuals, unfortunately, in this building from time to time. But I try my best to pay attention and listen. If this is the only spiritual food you're eating of the week, I would ask that you would eat it well. You know, therefore, let us. This isn't a salad that we're talking about. This is God's word breathing and living. Allow it to be a spiritual food. Don't only eat in the physical. Eat in the spiritual and do it daily. For those who believed, he got to enter his rest. Because God rested since finishing his work from the foundation of the world. God didn't rest because he was tired. We get tired. We live in this physical world. You push on through 24, 48 hours. If you've ever been up longer than 72 hours, you will start hallucinating. I promise. It's a human condition that we have. We can only be up so long, and then our brain does not understand. It has to rest. It has to lay down. It has to go to sleep. We have to regenerate. But God did not rest because he was tired. God rested because he wanted to give us an example of what to follow. God wants us to rest with him and to live this life with him and through him. We are to rest with Jesus daily. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14, 6. This is in shadowing of the Holy of Holies. I meant to get a picture, and I'm sorry I didn't, but I hope that you understand when I say the Holy of Holies. The Old Testament temple kind of thing looked like a box, right? The outer court. Okay, as Christ says, I am the way, God gave us a way to enter the gate into the outer court of the Holy of Holies. God going ahead and told us that he is the truth. The truth is like the door. The door was what the priest would enter to the holy place. And only one could enter the Holy of Holies, as God has given us the life. God wants our life to be in the Holy of Holies with Him. God gave us a way to enter the veil, to be with Him forever and ever. Amen. Christ came and gave us a new covenant. Christ came and gave us a new way. He came and fulfilled the law. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, there's another therefore. Therefore, brothers, since we have convinced to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that opened for us through the curtain, also known as the veil, that is, through His flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He is who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more seeing as the day draws near. Guys, why are we here? Why do we enter this place? What are these four walls? Do we call it church or do we call it home? Do we come here to encourage one another, to uplift each other, or do we just come like a country club and pay our tithes and say hello and how are you? Glad you're here. Good to meet you. Hope you come back. No, we are a family. Those that have been here long enough, you can look around and say, that's my brother. That's my sister. I've lived life with those people. I've encouraged them. They've encouraged me. They've picked me up when I was down, and I'll pick them up when they're down. That's why we're here. We are the church. The church is not these four walls. The church is outside these walls. We need each other. Guys, we got to live together. But in this, in living together, we have to understand that there's promises. There's promises together and being united together in it. There's promises that we have power when we are united together. There's promises that there is power in the blood. Matthew 18:20 states, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is also. Guys, I hope you've gathered today in Jesus' name, because He has been here with us. He has visited us. I challenge us all to praise the Lord as though He's in the room. I challenge us all to give thanks unto Him as though He's standing next to us. Because not only is He standing next to us as we sing the song, He's beside us, He's in front of us, He's behind us. He dwells in you if you dwell with Him. But there is a warning when we are divided. As Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, there are six things God hates, and there's seven that's an abomination. Verse 19 states, the Lord hates discord among the brethren. And another warning, the generations before us, because they did not listen to this word. Look back through the generations of the Israelites. Look back through the generations of the American church. Why are there so many denominations? Why are we not one church? Because we get in the way. Guys, let's not get in the way. As we welcome January 2024 and we start Awake 21, allow us to truly be united as the church. Allow us to press in and press on and press on towards the Lord. Allow us to truly be the ones that we have called to be. Allow us to give it back to Him. As I think about this, it reminds me of a conversation that I had a few years ago. Yeah, y'all are good. Y'all, come on, sorry. I forgot to say that a minute ago. Whoop. Conversation I had a few years ago with a lady of wisdom. We were talking about back and forth about God's rest. And I came to her with these words, Matthew 6:34, sufficient is the day. I understand that when someone's living in the past, they're cursed with depression. I understand when someone's living in the future, they're cursed with anxiety, that we should live in the present because it is a gift for God. I'm not saying that we don't learn from our past or we shouldn't hope for the future. And she stopped me in my tracks. She said, Billy, I want you to listen. If you haven't heard or listened to anything else that I've said this morning, I would like to have your undivided attention for about 3 minutes. What she challenged with me next hurt, and I didn't understand it at the time. I walked away offended. And what words she said to me is, you have more faith in that chair that you sit in than Jesus. You have more faith in that chair that you sit in than Jesus. Being a gentleman, I didn't slap her, but I thought about it. I'm not going to lie to you. What did she mean? What did she say? What words did I have to chew on for a little while? What she said to me is, Billy, the chair you rest in, you believe and have faith in, will handle you. You believe and have faith in will uphold you. You're not looking for another one to sit in. You're not looking for somewhere else to go. You're not looking for another place to recline. You have faith in that chair that it will hold you up. You say that you have faith in Jesus, but what do you do with all the promises that he's given you? What do you do with all the things that he has given unto you and blessed you with? And it hurt, and it hurt a lot. But I walked away from that conversation understanding that God met me in that moment. Again, God refined me in that moment. It hurts to jump in the fire of refining. It hurts to be encouraged to grow. My wife expects more of me than I expect of myself. The Lord expects more of me than I expect of myself. God wants all of us, as we just sung a few moments ago, to lay our burdens down. We sung, we will. If you're like me, you pick it up before you walk out the door. You'll lay it down at the altar, I promise. But before you leave, you'll look around, make sure nobody's watching, and you'll pick it back up and take it with you. I encourage you, and I have come by today to tell you about God's rest. God's rest is for us to lay it down and not pick it back up. God's rest is for us to actually throw it down at the foot of the cross and leave it regardless of what it is. Financial troubles, marriage troubles, gifts and giftings of, it is all available to us. His promise is to do exceedingly, abundantly, far beyond anything that I can think and or imagine. Let us truly give it to the Lord. As we read in Romans, it states, all things were created through Jesus. Not some things, not most things, but all things. And all things are given to me, to those who love him, to be good. I don't understand when people die. I don't understand when financial troubles come. I don't understand when me and my wife are not one. I don't understand those things. But most people would call that bad news. But it says all things, not some things, not most things, but all things. All things. Lay it down at God's feet. Don't lay down the things that you don't think you can carry. Lay down the things that you think you can carry, because you can't. It will come unraveled. It will come unwound. It will come undone. Allow us to have the encourage and allow us to be encouraged, to be united together, to walk through this life as the church that he has created us to be a house of healing, to be a house of prayer, to be his people. And let us all lay all things down before him. Who is the hymn? This time of the year, we hear a lot about a child being born. We hear a lot about a child being laid in a manger. We hear about a child that has came to bless us all. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We can only enter God's rest through Jesus. Jesus is the name. Jesus was born unto us in a manger, as we have one displayed here. But he grew up, became a son, then he became a man. And he died upon a cross for you and for me. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. So as we go through this Christmas season, my challenge to you is to be in his rest. I know we've all got many things to do, many family to see, and many places to go. But I would ask that you would enter God's rest. If y'all stand with me today. Let us sing this song as truly entering God's rest.
God rest you.
Again, guys, thank you for being here Christmas Eve morning. I would remind you that Wednesday night we don't have service. Next Sunday we're back to Sunday school and regular service. Go and be a blessing and be blessed. Love all of you.